The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Direct snap, straight back, tunnel by Loa, throws to the end zone for a touchdown for Alabama.
Wow.
Henry Ruggs had 9 catches all year coming into tonight. He had 3 on that Alabama touchdown drive. From a deep drop and a deep throw with a man running open. It is caught. Hardman deep down the sideline. Breaks a tackle and he will score. It's an empty set. 3 receivers to the left. The tight end, one of them tight to the line, 2 to the right. Direct snap. No pressure. All day to throw. Now he's under pressure. Throws on the move. And it is caught for an Alabama touchdown. Calvin Ridley with 3:49 to go. Second and 26 from the 41, the left hash mark. Out of the gun, Damian Harris, the running back on his left. 3 receivers right, 1 to the left. Straight back to pass. Going deep. Throwing it down the far sideline. And it is caught for a touchdown. Devontae Smith wins the national championship. Down the left sideline and wide open behind the defense. One true freshman to another. A beautiful throw. A clutch catch. And Alabama is the national champion in overtime, 26-23 over Georgia.
Nick, you just said, is that an answer to the question? Was that a good game or what? How do you describe what you just coached through?
I'll tell you what, the resiliency of our team to come back in the second half. Tua did a great job, gave us a little spark. Defense picked it up. To overcome the adversity of missing the field goal in regular and then go and win the game in overtime. It's a great football game. You got to give Georgia a lot of credit. They really played well in the game. And I'm so proud of our players for the way they come back in the game after the first half we played was not very good.
What led to the decision and what did you tell Tua?
Well, I just thought we had to throw the ball in the game and I thought he could do it better. And he did. He did a good job. We made some plays in the passing game. So, hey, it's just a great win, man. I'm so happy for Alabama fans. Great for our players. Unbelievable.
Your 6th national championship. You tied Bear Bryant for most in the poll era. Take a second and hear that. What does that mean to you?
You know, right now, I'm just happy for all these folks here. I'm happy for all these folks. I'm happy for our players. I don't care anything about that, to be honest with you. This was a great win for our players, and I've never been happier in my life.
Never.
Never.
All right. Hey, at least we got a hell of a game. Maybe it didn't go the way you wanted to from a gambling perspective, but hey, these things happen. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in, 713-780 ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a 0, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday short show for us because we have Aggie basketball at 5:30.
All right.
So we get stuck in traffic with everybody else at 5:30.
With the rest of you schlubs.
Yeah, sorry. And we won't have us to listen to get us home. That's too bad.
We'll have Dave South to listen to. The smooth Dave South.
All right.
Sports! Yeah.
And they score.
What's going on, Mr. Lee? Did you do a podcast today?
Yeah, and right when we wrapped up, the story of Stan Lee dropped.
Hashtag Lee 2.
Yeah. Yes,
oh,
Lee.
I love it. No. I love it. Hashtag Lee 2.
I don't know if we want to get into it today, but
he's brought shame to your name, Jong.
Yeah, shame. Very, very, very bad
shame. What's the accusation on Stan?
Apparently, he is a groper. And did you guys see the story on the Daily Mail?
Yeah. I didn't see the Daily Mail version. I saw another version of it.
Yeah, he gropes his nurses, and he, when he's in the shower, he asks for oral pleasure and walks around naked and all that stuff.
This is like recently, though, right?
I didn't get to read the whole thing, but I don't know how recent it was.
I feel like he's over 90, right?
He's 95, yeah, I believe.
Dude, when you're 95, you can do that. You can grab your nurse's boob. Like, there's a, I understand the movement, and I'm pro women on this deal, but at some point, old men, that's just what they do, and there's no
not AW. You can't do it anymore.
You think so?
Nope.
Because I'm pretty sure my grandpa probably squeezed a nurse boob or something in the shower when he was... Because you get to a certain
point...
I'm
telling you, Weinstein ruined it for all of us. So when I'm old, if I get that old, I'm not going to be able to fondle my nurse.
So this is the alleged... I guess this, he's being accused of... The source, close to the knowledge, says, Stan is a very old man, or is an old man who has seemingly lost his way. He doesn't seem to care about what people think of him. He's lost his filter. There has been a stream of young nurses coming into his house in West Hollywood, and he has been sexually harassing them. He finds it funny. He walks around naked, is vulgar towards the women. He asked them for oral sex in the shower and wants to be pleasured in his bedroom. He also is the...
No one has time for... Is this all since Joan died?
I guess.
Was Joan keeping him in check?
I guess. It was a trigger. The death was a trigger, I guess. He uses the word meow and...
Who doesn't?
The F word in their presence.
Oh.
He's also very handsy and has groped some of the women. It's unacceptable behavior, especially from an icon like Stan.
Poor Stan. He's just lost it.
The source goes on to say, the owner at the nursing company has openly said to people that Stan has sexually harassed every single nurse that has been sent to the house. That got back to Lee and sparked the whole thing. It appears the owner, who has nursed Stan herself, eventually decided enough was enough. Hashtag me too. That's not in there, but.
Oh, Stan.
Hashtag getting sued for Marvel money. That's what it's going to be.
And,
apparently James Franco's been thrown into that Me Too mix too.
Yeah.
At the Golden Globes, there was some chick tweeting about him like trying to force her head onto his exposed penis while he was driving, which doesn't seem necessarily safe.
That's not legal?
That's not legal.
Oh, okay. Just good to know.
It's not legal.
Good to know.
And
trying to lure 17-year-olds to his hotel room.
Yeah, that story came out a couple years ago about that too, right?
Well, that was when he was like trying to. He was in the DMs of some 17-year-old on Instagram.
Yeah.
But this lady said, after your Instagram thing, you were still trying to get 17-year-olds to come to your hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe James Franco's a pervert too. There's no hiding.
But he's
from
handsome.
It. They're everywhere.
If you're handsome, you shouldn't be a pervert.
Yeah,
you get what you want.
I'm kind of with you.
And the lawyers for Stan Lee say that it's all for extortion. So. The story broke on the Daily Mail, and the Daily Mail isn't the most reliable news source. So,
yeah, that's true. Well, let's talk a little football.
Was there a football game?
Yeah, there was a football game last night. I know it wasn't a happy experience for you, thanks to overtime.
Yeah,
you're over, and then the 3.5.
But you know what? There's silver linings. So I lost the under. And I lost the -3.5. And in most circles, you say, well, that's the only way to bet the game. You were a loser last night. But I still had Alabama tied to a Saints money line. Alabama money line and Saints money line parlay that hit.
Like it.
And that had a plus in front of the number, like +108 or something.
Yeah, still.
So I had that. And then I had the teaser that I made where it pushed Alabama to a favorite. And... or pushed Alabama to an underdog, like +2.5,
yeah,
and made the under 40, or 50.
Yeah,
excuse
which,
me.
Guess what?
It was 49.
Exactly.
And
thank
at
goodness.
Halftime, and the only thing I wish is, I don't know what your site offers for live betting. My site offers live betting, but the max bet is not the same as a regular max bet.
It's the same thing.
It's usually half
it's
of
about,
what your
yeah,
maximum
it's exactly
bet
half.
So at halftime, I saw Alabama +10.5. I said, it was after Alabama's first possession of the half. I said, okay, I'm good. I saw that they made the quarterback change, which I asked for, like, as they were walking off the field at halftime. And we've seen Tua a little bit this year. Not a lot, but we've seen him a little bit. He's got like he had 8 or 9 touchdown passes going into last night. It's not like this guy is an unknown. I said they've got to throw that kid out there and see if he can throw, because Jalen Hurts, it's like if his first read isn't there,
forget it.
He's not throwing the ball. And Georgia was smart, and they game planned for Jalen Hurts, and they took him out of the game completely. But Nick Saban, as he does, won the battle and lost the battle, won the war, because he brings in Tua in the second half. And I got Bama plus 10.5, albeit not for as much as I would have liked, but I still end up making some money on the game, believe it or not.
My second half, it was Bama even on second half points.
Oh, I'm talking about for
the
game.
You're talking about the game. Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about for the, like, Bama for the, it was live because it was the third quarter had started.
Okay. Yeah, so at halftime, I bet Bama even. I love doing that with favorites who are down early.
Yeah, it was Bama plus 10.5 live. Hmm. So I took Bama plus 10.5.
But mine was just for the second half.
Yeah.
But it was the same thing. It's half the max. Michael says, if Georgia chose to run the ball at the end of the game, why not Michelle? That's a man amongst boys. That was the thing that, if you recall, I talked about this yesterday. Sony Michelle was the one thing that scared the hell out of me from a Bama perspective, because that guy's explosive. I love Nick Chubb, but Sonny Michel's a game changer. And, yeah, I would have liked to have seen him run the ball more there in the second half. But, you know, what are you going to say? I think, once again, Nick Saban comes up with a brilliant move. And it was an easy move, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was the only decision to make.
But do you think Jalen Hurts ever takes another snap at Alabama?
I don't know. It depends on if he is willing to accept that role. Like, if he's... Yeah.
Well, he accepted it last night. I got to give him credit, man. He was out there rooting for the guy. He was high-fiving him. He was out there excited.
Raise your hand if you ever thought Jalen Hurts was going to play quarterback in the NFL. Okay.
Yeah.
No hands went up in this room. So my assumption is he understands that. He gets a national championship ring out of the deal. I mean,
but he could also go somewhere else and play if he wants to play.
He could.
But I don't think he's starting there anymore.
I don't think so either. I think that's he just got Lou Gehrig'd.
But Wally Pipp. But I give him credit, though. He handled it really well. He was out there rooting for his team. He wasn't pouting on the sidelines.
No.
He
did it the right way.
He did. And I think that's something that gets lost sometimes.
I don't like that they interviewed him after the game. That seemed kind of
How did it feel to suck for a half?
Yeah. I don't think that's a how did you feel watching your teammate take your job and lead the team to victory?
A job you're never going to see again. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
You've just been shaking your head. You've had that smile on your face. Your reaction when you found out Tua was going to start the second half, honestly.
He was going to step in and do his thing. You know, we have a lot of guys in the QB room that play really well. And he just stepped in and did his thing. Did his thing for the team.
In every offensive huddle, you were right there next to him throughout the second half and overtime. What was your message to him?
Ball. Play your game. Ball. You know, he's destined for stuff like this. He's built for stuff like this. You know, he has the impact, and I'm so happy for him, happy for this team.
What does it mean to you to be a national champion?
It's unbelievable. I dreamed about this.
And we're back on the Blitz. That was Jalen Hurts. And I dreamed about somebody else taking my job. But hey, he handled it like a champ.
He didn't get the MVP of the game and things like that. Make no mistake that he's a big part of them winning a national championship.
Oh, God, yeah. They wouldn't have been there without him, I don't think.
Yeah, so he played a lot this season. He played he played well this season. And 17 touchdowns, one pick all season long.
That's amazing. That number.
He was second on the team in rushing. He had 8 rushing touchdowns. I mean, he was big for them. So it's a... At the end of the day, everybody gets the ring. And Jalen Hurts played his part as much as anybody, if not more than most.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Casino Jay, what are the odds Jalen gets the Braxton Miller treatment and converts to wide receiver? He's explosive and no Ridley next year. No Ridley, but they've got guys lined up. I'd like to see him on the field. So, was Georgia's second half breakdown similar to Atlanta's in the Super Bowl? Should they have been using more clock, or was it a defensive problem, or both?
I think it's a little bit of both. It was pretty similar. And here's the other thing. Your best players are running backs.
Yeah.
Give them the ball.
Yeah.
Let those guys – but you know what? They also, late in the game, they did that, and they probably should have been pushing a little bit more because Fromm had a good game. And so I don't know if it's quite the same, because where Atlanta may have been too aggressive late in the game trying to make it a blowout, I think Georgia got a little bit too conservative late in the game trying to run out the clock. And by the way, Georgia got gifted that it went to overtime anyway. I mean,
yeah.
That bum kicker from Alabama. I mean, Nick Saban's just got to start. He's got to start giving scholarships to kickers, like, from the go.
Yeah.
And I know every once in a while he'll get a guy and he'll kick for a while, then he'll be like, okay, I'll give you a scholarship. He's got to go out and recruit, like, a good kicker. Because he's playing with fire. And there's two... You know, the kind of game that Alabama plays, this isn't like, it's not like Oklahoma. We're going to go out and put up 70 points every day, and then you're just trying to keep up with them. Like, they play so many games like this in the SEC, these physical grinding games, that 3 points is massive.
Yeah.
6 points is ridiculous. And that's what they left on the field yesterday from their kicker, 6 points.
Well, I'm not going to blame him too much for the first one, because he did make the kick and they had the damn... false start, which I don't know how you false start on a freaking field goal. That's one I'm just going, are you kidding me? And, of course, he missed the next one. But the other one, they're just not much of an excuse for. So, hell of a game, though. I think, what was it I was saying yesterday? And then AJ got mad at me. It's like, I hope it's really close.
Did you say 23-20?
I think I said 23-20.
I remember just thinking, this mother bleeper. you got to be kidding me. And that was about what it was going to be, but lucked out. Mm.
But, man, I'm looking at NFL draft prospects. They have Sonny Michel as the 7th-ranked running back. That dude is going to be a good player.
He's a nice player, yeah.
I guarantee you someone is going to get that guy in the 3rd round, and he's going to be – they're going to be very happy with him. I mean, if you use him right. I mean, I don't think you can throw him out there as a every-down back.
Right.
But if you use him in the, Reggie Bush / Christian McCaffrey type role, that guy could be a real weapon for you.
Well, and Nick Chubb didn't have the best game yesterday, but I think that dude is an NFL back, and he is probably a 3-down back in the NFL.
He's certainly a 1-2 back.
So it's a
first and second down.
Yeah, both those guys are going to make money in the NFL. They're both in good shape. And so is Damian Harris, who was playing for Alabama. He'll probably also be drafted in the early rounds of the draft. Yeah. I don't know if – I think there's a pretty big gap between Saquon Barkley and the rest.
Darius Geis
is good. Bryce Love is good. Ronald Jones is good. I mean –
And there's the top four you've just listed on the draft board.
Yeah. So. I think Royce Freeman will get love from Oregon.
6th. Damian Harris was 5th, by the way.
We talked about Kerryon Johnson a lot. But I'm just saying.
You mentioned every single one of them, because you mentioned Chubb and Michelle, and they're 7 and 8. Now you mentioned Johnson at 9.
Well, I didn't make the list, but they're seeing the same football games I am.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of good running backs out there. They're going to be able to play in the NFL. So,
right, so Barkley, Geis, Love, Jones, Harris, Freeman, Michelle, Chubb, Johnson, for the clean sweep of the top 10, take a wild guess, because you're 9 for 9.
Rashad Penny.
Incorrect. 15th. Ito Smith of Southern Miss, okay, who I don't know much about. I'm not going to lie.
I'll take Rashad Penny over him.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, yeah, I guess everybody fell in love with the Georgia Strength's coach's mustache.
Oh, yeah. What about that kicker, too?
Yeah, that was serious.
The Georgia kicker with the mustache and the goggles? That's pretty strong.
So, I don't know if we have time to get into it this segment, but of course, USA Today already has its top 25 for next year. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. It's all the same schools, pretty much. I don't think they really allow for somebody to jump up and be a surprise team. I mean, they pretty much take the same guys and think, oh, well, they'll be good again next year.
Well, Alabama looks like they're built to be good for a long time.
Well, so does Georgia.
Yeah, they do. Although Georgia's losing those running backs, and they've got a few seniors on defense they're going to lose.
Yeah, but that – whoops. What is that? Oh, somebody left some.
But, yeah, they'll be up in there for sure.
But, I mean, the quarterback's going to be back, and they always find running backs at Georgia.
That quarterback played pretty well, too.
He did. On a big stage.
But they're going to be losing Roquan Smith. They're going to lose Javon Wims.
I think he's got the number one recruiting class, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
they'll be fine. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I think he's built a nice program there that's going to continue to be good for a long time. I wasn't sure that they made the right move when they shoved Rick out and put him in. They made the right move. I stand corrected on that.
But that's what we talk about, and we've talked about this in the NFL. When you're stuck in neutral, sometimes it takes a ballsy move to get rid of what you've got. You can get comfortable with, well, we're right there at the top of the SEC East every year. And if that's like your main goal, okay. But it's pretty clear Georgia had bigger aspirations than,
as they should,
winning the SEC East more often than not. So they made a ballsy move, and it paid off. I mean, it didn't pay off ultimately yet, but I think it will eventually.
How many teams get to play for a national championship?
I mean, two.
Yeah.
Every year.
So I think it did pay off.
Okay.
I mean, to get there.
When's the last time Georgia was there?
Yeah. To get there and be 3 points away from winning the whole thing, yeah, I think it paid off. You think Texas A&M would take naming teams that wouldn't take that?
Every team wants to be. If you lose in the national title game, that's a successful season.
Yeah.
You have the full top 25, the early top 25?
I do. We'll do that next segment.
All right.
Why don't we grab a call real quick? Mark wants to talk about Alabama.
Alabama.
What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up, guys? Sports.
Hey, sports to you.
Hey, I just had a quick question for you guys. What do you think if Jalen Hurts, if that's it for him in Alabama, how do you guys feel about him coming back to Texas playing for Tom Herman or coming back to his hometown and playing in U of H? I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Like, honestly, Jalen Hurts is good in the position that he's in, where he's surrounded with tons of talent. I don't know Jalen Hurts at Texas, that's a non-starter for me. Texas doesn't have a good enough – they're not good enough around him for that guy to be successful there. They need a quarterback who can carry them a little bit. And I know it's hard to find one. That's what they've been looking for. They need someone who can carry them. UH is different because UH plays a different caliber of schedule. And sometimes a player like that who drops down in level of competition can make a real difference. And
you know what, though? More often than not, they don't.
Very often they don't.
Garrett Gilbert went to SMU. Wasn't that great.
He was better, much better.
He was better than he was at Texas, but he still wasn't great. And we saw it, Kyle Allen's act at UH this year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times. Yeah, now in his case,
but mind you, those guys were failures at the place they were at.
Yeah,
it's hard to say that Jalen Hurts is a failure. I don't think he was a failure at Alabama.
No,
I just think that he got passed up by someone who looks to be a really special talent.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what that kid can do moving forward.
I mean, my goodness, he. And of course, and rightfully so, the Russell Wilson comparisons were flying last night. And when you watch him play, that's what he looks like.
Is he undersized?
Yeah, he's not very big.
Oh,
I mean,
he looks bigger than he actually is then.
I don't know. I don't think he's Russell Wilson size, but I don't think he's...
He's 6'1", or listed as 6'1".
Okay, yeah. He ain't ideal NFL height. But... Man, the way he moves in the pocket, the way he was able to avoid that one play, and I don't know if I don't think it's a big highlight because it didn't score a touchdown or anything, but he runs to the right, like he's looking to pass. He runs into traffic and they hit him, and he doesn't go down. He just bounces off of him and then runs to the left and gets a first down. I mean, what? That's an unbelievable play. Now, was he perfect last night? No. He threw that interception that was god-awful, a ball that should have never even left his hand. He threw it to a receiver who was engaged in a block. He threw it to that receiver, and of course he got picked off. And then the touchdown to Ridley, I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think he was even throwing to Ridley.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, it's just that's a lucky break. And the call at the end of the game, the game-winning touchdown, well, even before that play where he gets sacked for 16 yards on first down in overtime, you can't do that. That play call on second down, I think, was a horrible play call, first of all. Of course, it worked, so they're smarter than me. But my goal on that play, when it's, what is it, second and 26?
Yeah.
It's to get about 10 yards. Not to get all the yards, but to get about 10 yards. But if there's not really, really fundamental breakdowns, like massive fundamental breakdowns in Georgia's secondary, that play doesn't work. So he wasn't perfect, but he gave them the energy that they needed. And you could see Alabama changed after halftime. When they saw what he could do throwing the ball, everybody changed.
All right.
All right, guys. We got Aubrey on or no?
Yeah.
Oh, my man Aubrey Theodi on the line. Aubrey, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It seems like it's been a whole year since we were talking and chit-chatting, and good to hear from you guys. And beautiful weather, beautiful New Year, and lots of great opportunities at Dirt Free. When you're talking about the interior quality of your home, carpet, tile, grout, leather drapes, wool rugs, air ducts, in marble, the stone floors are going to be one of our big targets this year. So when you need to do something to maintain the interior quality of home, think 281 Dirt Free, dirtfreecarpet.com. You can check us out on our website. And there's always different sales running. And it doesn't matter which service, we have a particular sale that will assist you. Like right now, we're doing a free room of carpet cleaning and a free speed dry with any purchase. So it's a good opportunity. If they needed a wool rug done, then you get the carpet done for free, you know, that's under the wool rug, the whole room. So 281 Dirt Free, you guys know what we can do. No soaps, chemical residues, or tap water.
Always the best deals when Aubrey's on. Appreciate you, Aubrey. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
Okay, guys. Have a good weekend.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Not Dead Zed asks, on that overtime TD, was the cornerback badly beaten? It looked like to me like he was expecting safety help over the top.
It was the safety's responsibility. Like, I mean, the cornerback on that play, the cornerback is supposed to basically ride with him until it gets to the safety, but he just let him zoom by, and the safety acted like he didn't know that that man was overall his responsibility on that play.
Yeah, the way he responded, with the way he threw his hands up, I think he thought the safety was supposed to be over there.
The safety was supposed to be over there. That's on the safety. The safety is the one who, you know, and I hate to put like, to make a goat out of any particular play, but schematically that's, and you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I've got such a rudimentary knowledge of like that depth of football, but as a you know, if you're a quarterback, you know that that's what the case is. That's who you've got to watch, is that safety. And Tua beat that safety with his eyes.
Yeah.
And the safety had to know that you cannot get beat by that man. Even if he looks you off, you cannot go that other way. And you have one side of the play, because with the way they line that play up, you've got trips on one side and a single receiver on the other. The single receiver, that side of the field is dead. They're not going to that side of the field. So it's just, there was so many so many flaws in the way that last play ran down, which I'm sure Kirby Smart's frustrated with and should be frustrated with. But yeah, that was on the safety, not the corner.
And to be fair, I mean, late in games when fatigue isn't just a physical thing, it's a mental thing. And that's where you see guys make mistakes. That's why you see plays like that in games like that. We saw it in the NFL last week with the fourth down play for the Bengals. I mean, it was just when they were playing the Ravens. I mean, that was just a mental fatigue mistake. And that happens. So let's squeeze on a call. Mario. What's up, Mario?
Hey, fellas.
Hey, sports.
Okay. That guy that number 48 that got, I guess he got penalized, and then he goes to the sideline, and then he tried to attack one of the coaches, and then three guys had to hold him down. You think, was that his last game, or was that his last game?
Well, that was everybody's last game. That was the last game of the season.
I'm guessing he was asking if Saban's going to kick him off the team.
Oh, well. That,
Brown.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get kicked off the team. I think that everybody understands that emotions run hot. And in fact, I mean, he got back into the game.
Yeah.
He made that clothesline tackle.
Yeah. I mean, he's a valuable player for them. I think there was frustration that boiled over, and that tends to happen in these games. I don't think that he's somehow like that they're just going to be done with him or there may be some sort of a punishment, but I don't think it's going to be him not being on the team anymore.
That and steroids.
I mean, he looked mental, very, very mentally weak.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Their whole team was collapsing. I mean, and they... Listen, what you have to understand about these types of players and the players that go to Alabama, these guys have always been better than everybody. And for the first half of that game, they got their pants pulled down. And 13-0, well, it's not like, I mean, obviously it's not an insurmountable score because it was surmounted. but that first half felt just so one-sided. Like Alabama had nothing for Georgia. Like they really didn't belong on the field with them. And you could see that Mekhi Brown was one of many guys who just, their frustrations boiled over because he's just not used to being in that spot. And I'm not making excuses for it. And he came out after and he said that, you know, he did something stupid, could have cost us the game. And he's right. But he at least, you know, acknowledged it after the game and I think they're going to move on from it.
You know, it was kind of funny. It was almost the exact opposite of the Georgia OU game, where first half it looked like Georgia had nothing for OU. And then the second half they dominated. It was the exact opposite. It's amazing how teams can look so good in one half, and you see some adjustments made, get guys in the right place, and all of a sudden the game turns completely around.
Hey, can you go? Can we get Lance in here?
Yeah, I'll go see what he's doing.
Yeah, send one of the interns in here. I want to make sure I'm not wrong about that play, but I've got a high school education when it comes to this stuff, so I'd much rather talk to Lance about it and see if I'm wrong. But I do believe that's safety responsibility there, because that's cover two.
Yeah, I think you're right. But let's ask him. I've also got our early top 25, so we'll get to that at some point today. Better be relatively soon, since we don't have a very long show today.
Oh, that's true. Well, I mean, we had pretty much one topic to discuss today.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that in case you missed yesterday's show, the University of Houston has decided to hire someone who's connected to a rape scandal for some ridiculous reason. If that bothers you in any way, you should let them know about it on social media. You should let them know about it by not buying season tickets. You should let them know in whatever way you choose to let them know that you do not support them hiring someone involved in a rape scandal and someone who is still under investigation for being part of that rape scandal. I just don't want to forget about that today. Yeah. I may mention that every day for a while.
And a really good column on that on SportsMap from AJ Hoffman, if you wish to go read it. But, yeah, I've the more I find out, the more I'm, you know what? I'm not going to any games next year.
Good for you.
I'm not buying any gear. I'll watch them and follow them because I have to.
I don't.
But I'm not going to go to the game and spend $100 on beer with my friends like I usually do.
Yeah.
So you're out on that.
Jong's not going to take his wife to the games.
Yeah, we're not buying gear.
No way.
No.
Jong's going to send his kids to Sam Houston.
Oh, that's not Sam Houston.
Oh, somewhere else.
Throw yeah, Sam Houston.
They got one of the Sam Houston?
Best nothing. Criminal justice schools on the planet.
Jong's going to have Asian kids. They can't be cops.
That's true.
What is, minority cops? Are you crazy, Fred?
Yeah, never mind. Shame bell for me. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline.
Tell him what you say. He said about you on this show.
I don't want to do the accent because it just brings back stuff.
Just go ahead. Tell Lance.
I'm not your puppet, John.
Come on, do it.
He says John is a clown.
No, the man is a clown.
The man is a clown.
And you are his court jester.
I heard about the giant sugar cookie.
The Bench, weekdays from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Second and 26 from the 41, the left hash mark. Out of the gun, Damian Harris, the running back on his left. Three receivers right, one to the left. Straight back to pass. Going deep, throwing it down the far sideline. And it is caught for a touchdown. Devontae Smith wins the national championship.
And we're back on the Blitz. This is Singh Lamont tweeted us about gunman on the run after person shot at gas station on Westheimer in Tanglewild.
Where's Tanglewild?
That's right down by our old place.
By Nick's place?
Yeah, that's right. I used to live right there.
Oh,
in
man.
In that complex behind there. As a matter of fact, I was down there at lunch today. There's a Mexican restaurant across the street. And I saw a police car down there. I had no idea there was a shooting.
Well, I hate getting shot, so I'm glad I wasn't there.
I did not shot?
No. No.
Never.
No.
Been arrested?
Yeah.
I was going to put you on arrest.
Yeah, multiple times.
How did we like the game yesterday? Multiple times?
Yeah, multiple times.
What do you mean multiple times? Is this because you lived in Austin?
No, well, I mean, once in Austin. No, actually, I've never been arrested in Austin.
Really?
No. No.
But multiple times?
Yeah.
Where and when?
In Nashville a lot. When I was in the Army a couple times.
You just get rowdy?
Once in high school. Yeah, I just get rowdy.
Yeah?
I used to.
Are you a rowdy drinker?
No.
No?
Not really. I mean, no.
Well, then where did the rowdiness come from?
I was young and, you know, full of too much testosterone and confidence,
sure.
I suppose.
Sure.
You know, it happens. The last time I got arrested was for public intoxication. One of my buddies said, I bet you can't pick that newspaper box up over your head. This is at 2 a.m. in Nashville. And I said, I bet I can. Of course, I did. Right as the cop pulled up and, like, pulled onto the curb, lights blaring like I was a bank robber. Yeah,
I've never been arrested, and one of the reasons is because I went to school in New Orleans, where you got to really screw up to get arrested.
Yeah, like, it's got to be pretty bad.
You're not going to get arrested for public intoxication
in
New Orleans.
I mean, that's everybody in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, that's really hard. As long as they tell you to do something and you do it, and you don't pee on their streets in the French Quarter, those are the no-no. You will immediately get pulled in if you do
that. Nashville was it was a setup because there were places on 2nd Street in Nashville that had $6 all you could drink beer.
That's a setup,
right? I mean, and then there's cops waiting right outside just in case you pick up a newspaper box. Bastards. All right, let's talk about the game last night. I said something, and the more after I said it, and I said it with such confidence that maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but on that last play of the game, the safety's the one who blew that right. That's his responsibility once he gets past the corner.
It's four verticals, so basically it was just a great call versus a defense, and the safety has to balance out which vertical is he going to cover, the one that's on the hash or the one that's outside. It's intentionally designed to – you know, in my mind, I had a hard time – comprehending it when I first learned out about the four vertical approach, because I just think, well, quarterback, you know, defensive backs have enough time to get to the ball. You're sending everyone in the same direction. But it really, you know, guys with arm talent who can throw it, there's not enough time to make up that ground. So basically you're reading those safeties and you're seeing, is he going to, you know, is he shading towards the hash or shaded towards the outside? And you'll notice the outside wide receivers really release wide.
Right.
I mean, they're trying to make the field as wide as possible. And so that was – they put the safety in a bad position.
Yeah. And the quarterback sort of looked the safety
more manipulated
to the inside.
Him even more.
And he's just got
no
to know
chance.
He can't –
No
not
chance. They weren't
a
good coverage to stop it. And then the quarterback did a good job of manipulating with his eyes and they couldn't. I mean, there was no chance for him to get there.
But it was the safety's responsibility. Corner's not supposed to ride him all the way there.
Well, from what I recall, you got to adjust your.
I mean, it'd be
you
nice
gotta
if
adjust
you could,
your coverage to what you've got going. And I think from what I can recall, because I was just busy saying kick the extra point.
Yeah, me too.
for no other reason, this I was interested in seeing the next point.
You
That's
wanted
all.
To see if that kicker could recover
or
from his misses.
I wanted to see that kicker make that field goal. And let's just keep the score at a certain number.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And then
I would have been fine with either.
Let's push.
I would have been fine with either.
And win the money line stuff. You know? I'm not going to tell you I had, you know, well, anyway.
Hey, thank God for live betting.
Yeah, so I think the safety was supposed to be had to kind of balance out between the two. I think it was just a great call.
Have we seen, is Jalen Hurts going
to
transfer?
By the way, who would expect them to run a four vertical look when they're at the 45-yard line? Or like who anticipates
in my head, I was like, well, that's just a stupid call because you're trying to get back 15 yards.
Yeah.
You're not trying to get
But you're thinking
all
that,
the
too,
yards.
If you're Mel Tucker.
Exactly.
And if you're Mel Tucker and so basically they just outthought, well, they're expecting us to try to chip back into this. Let's take a shot. And because what else are you going to do with that route? Like, you have to take your shot with that route.
That kid can throw the football too.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's bouncier than on the feet than he was. He's just faster than Jalen Hurts too. I think Jalen is done, obviously. But it'll be interesting to see if he sticks it out there and goes into Tyrone Swoops mode and tries to be the packages where and tries to win championships. Not because I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. He didn't throw the ball well enough, but he might decide to transfer out and try to go find playing time somewhere else.
Yeah, I was saying at halftime they got to get him out of there. And Tua's played a few games this year, and I've seen him, and I like what he can do. I didn't think he'd do what he did, but I thought that he'd at least give him a chance.
I didn't think they had any chance with Jalen Hurts if they got past two scores, just because I just thought, I mean, how are you going to move the ball with them?
I don't know what you've seen of him, or if you've even watched him on film. You probably don't bother because he's probably
Hurts.
Not an NFL quarterback.
You know, well, what's interesting is, like, I just finished Calvin Ridley. As you guys talked, I'm writing him up right now. Hurts throws with no anticipation on routes where Calvin Ridley gets so wide open, and if Jalen would just throw it on time, he catches it and runs to the end zone. Calvin Ridley has 19 career touchdowns. That guy should have 35. Between Coker and Jalen Hurts, he's been robbed of touchdowns so many times because he has to wait on the ball. It's unbelievable.
Well, I just always said, if Jalen Hurts, if you're not the first read in his progression, the ball's never getting to you.
Yeah.
And if you are the first read and you're covered, he's just going to run around with it. And you just
pretty accurate.
You can't win like that. No. I mean, long term.
No, it's hard. It's hard. You're not going to, you know, you got to think quicker and move quicker and decide quicker. Process quicker.
Well, I didn't mean to take you out of your cave. I just
want I got to get out of my cave.
I just,
I'm sitting there like a sedentary, just a polar bear, just sitting there waiting. It's just stacking on the fat. There's nothing else. Just waiting for a cold winter.
Yeah, someone asked about that play, and I was like, oh, that's absolutely the safety's responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then I said it so proudly, like I really knew. And then I was like, you know what?
Yeah, I'm trying to work off of my knowledge.
High school football is not everything, and you should ask somebody who actually knows.
I'm trying to remember the coverage, but I'm pretty sure it was, they were just in a look that was not geared towards the four verticals because they didn't anticipate it. Who would have anticipated that call coming? But great call, good touchdown, three straight, excellent national championship game.
That was great.
Excellent.
There were so many people saying it was going to be boring,
first half.
Trashy.
Well, wasn't great in the first half.
Oh, I got so many tweets at halftime saying this is the this is a snooze fest. And then I'm like, well, that's why you stick around for the whole game.
Yeah.
That turned into something.
How about Nick Saban? They tried to, Tom Rinaldi tried to, Yeah, how do you feel about this? This is the happiest moment of my life. This is the happiest I've ever been. Ever? And he was giving him the bailout. Well, the birth of my children and my wife. He gave him a bailout, and he's like, yep, ever.
Ever.
There was no doubt.
Ever.
There was no doubt.
He so. Didn't. You could tell he didn't want to lose to Kirby. Yeah, I mean, that would have been... it's just... I think Saban has such a pride about things that...
Yeah, you don't want to get beat by one of your...
One of the guys you taught.
Yeah, it's kind of like Krzyzewski and Dean Smith. None of those guys ever want to get beat by...
Off the guys, off their coaching tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Belichick doesn't want to lose to Bill O'Brien.
Oh, no. Bill Belichick loves to smash his former coaches, too. Mangini. He takes it personally. Remember when he wouldn't shake Mangini's hand? And he was a jerk for like 3 years?
How great is it that there was a time when the top two guys in the Browns organization were Bill Belichick and Nick Saban?
That's unbelievable.
And the Browns got rid of them both.
Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, head coach, defensive coordinator. And then you had Mangini, Phil Savage. I'm trying to remember that whole Cleveland.
They're like, let's get them all out of here.
It was, they were just like.
Never change, Cleveland.
No, Cleveland's the best. You had Bill Belichick and you got rid of him.
You got rid of him.
Yeah, and LeBron will leave you a second time soon enough.
Eventually. Yeah. All right, Lance, appreciate it. That's Lance Erline from the bench. What time is your show on?
7 o'clock
to 9 o'clock, I think, every day.
9:30-ish? Yeah, he does 30 minutes with Raheel and John. Okay. So, all right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.